Welcome to Church Media HQ, or welcome back to our reboot series. We are talking about how we don't need to just long to get back to normal, but we actually need to embrace and create the new normal. We've had some awesome content that we've covered. We've had some different guests and hosts with us, and we've covered all types of different content on how we can create the new normal as we come out of a pandemic and into life as we know it now. Now, we're going to kind of steer the conversation in a slightly different direction today and talk about a very important subject, finances. Yes, technically, this is a little bit out of our area. However, it's not, because as we work with churches and their creative and media needs, the number one limitation that we always hear about is finances, having to do with their budgets and their resources. And so today I am excited to share a conversation with you that I had with financial advisor and expert Nate Skelly of Financial Pathway. Nate has a lot of great insight of just practical tips that you could use in your personal life or at your church or organization. And so let's get right to my conversation with Nate. Well, Nate, thanks for being with us this week, and why don't we just kind of introduce everybody to you in terms of what you do in the financial realm, I suppose, and yeah, just kind of give us a little background.
Sure, yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for the invite, Luke. I'm glad to be on your podcast. Yeah, my name's Nate Skelly. I live in Pensacola, Florida. My wife, Charity, and we've got three kids, Jaden, Judah, and Juliet, 5, 3, and 1. So our life is crazy hectic, but lots of fun right now. I started my own financial planning company called Financial Pathway. So I really focus most of my time on investment management and financial planning around different financial goals. So that's a wide range of different topics, everything from obviously retirement to college savings to budgeting to insurance planning to a lot of different aspects of people's lives, their important financial goals. I enjoy talking about finances, but I enjoy this conversation that we're about to have here, talking about rebooting your finances. I think it's an important topic for us to cover, especially right now with where we're at, with everything going on in our world today.
Yeah, well, everybody is certainly in that frame of mind of kind of restarting. You know, it's kind of like a hard I keep saying it's kind of like a hard reset was pressed on really the world and society. And so in every way, whether you are, really leaders of any kind, you know, whether that's someone just leading their home or, you know, maybe they're leading a business, leading a church, they're thinking of how can they just reset. And, you know, you might also be thinking, well, I wish I would have been better prepared, you know, for the shutdown, for the, you know, I mean, the economy essentially shut down for what, 1 or 2 months, has been, you know, slowly kind of coming back online. And so, yeah, with that in mind, one of the things I know that people, you know, is this idea of savings, you know, savings or emergency fund, whatever. Can you speak to that? I mean, I know for myself and some other people I've talked to, they're grateful that, you know, maybe they had a plan like that in place, but while others do not. Can we talk about like kind of the value of having that, you know, that savings aspect?
Sure. Yeah. So when we're thinking about rebooting, I think of it first of all as like, typically a new year begins and we want to make New Year's resolutions because it's, oh, this is a new start, fresh start. Let me think about where I want to prioritize my time, my energy. And nobody saw this coming. Nobody could have predicted that this is what 2020 held for us. So in a sense, I think now is a good time for us to hit that reset button and in a way kind of make some New Year's resolutions in the middle of the year. But yeah. This idea of having a financial buffer is so crucial, whether it's personal or organizational. So I'll talk mainly about personal finances because that's more of my realm. That's more of my area of expertise, so to speak. But I think a lot of the principles we'll talk about can apply to an organization for sure.
Of course.
You know, most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. I've seen several different studies and they come up with different numbers, but it's usually anywhere from 50 to 75% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So that means they have no buffer. There's no cushion at all. If something unforeseen happens, then they're in a real problem spot. And that's exactly what has happened. And that's same for small businesses as well. I don't know all the numbers on small businesses, but I would have to imagine a lot of them are operating similarly. That it's inflow, outflow. Whatever's coming in is going right out to meet their expenses and their payroll and all these types of things. So it's put a lot of people in a really difficult situation. Obviously, we've had some stimulus plan and PPP and unemployment. So some things that have been stopgap measures to help people make it through this gap. But here's the thing. It's an important subject, but at the same time, I don't want to feel like I'm beating people over the head with this, like, see that? You should have had an emergency savings.
Yeah.
So I understand, like, I'm not here to, like, oh, see? We can all play the what-if game of, yeah, if we knew a global pandemic was coming, obviously we probably would have made some changes beforehand. But the whole idea is reset. So going forward, or we can't change what's happened the last 6 months. That's what's happened. But going forward, here would be my advice for you on a personal level. Have an emergency fund anywhere from 3 to 6 months of living expenses, not your income, but your expenses. So whatever you need to actually make it by on a monthly basis. If you've got a really steady job with steady pay, 3 months is probably going to do it for you. If you're in a more, your income's more irregular, maybe you're in a sales job, maybe it's seasonal, 6 months. But I already know what some people are thinking. They're like, okay, 3 to 6 months. Like, come on, that's going to take forever for me to, to save up that amount of money right now. So what I would say is start with a small amount, $1,000, $1,500, put in a separate account, not in your regular checking or savings, start a separate account, maybe at a different bank. That way it's in a different place, and then concentrate on paying off high interest debt. So if you got credit card debt, you've got personal loans, things that are higher interest, I'm talking like 7, 8, 9% or more, then take care of that stuff. And then once that's done, then work on building up your emergency fund till it's fully stocked. And that may take a while. That's okay. But again, the whole idea is reset, reboot. I think that's one of the first things you've got to put on your to-do list is saving up for emergencies. Because it's not an if, it's a when. It's not if there's going to be an emergency. It's just when there's going to be an emergency. And the last thing I would say on the idea of building a financial buffer and emergency fund is, remember, it's for emergencies only. So a vacation, a one-day only sale, those are not emergencies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's money that's set aside for things like a pandemic and you can't go to work and we need income to pay bills and get groceries. That's an emergency.
Yeah. And, the whole idea of, spending spending less than you make, having savings, it's one of those things, at least for me personally, it's a little bit easier said than done. Because, depending on your income, depending on the nature of your income, or depending on just your outright, discipline when it comes to spending, and whatnot. I mean, it could be so easy to, fudge the budget a little bit, in terms of, we were only supposed to spend $50 on going out to eat this week, but we're going to just go one more meal, and, after you do that for a month, 2 months, you start to really see that eating potentially into your savings account. So, how is there any, the thought, I guess, goes to kind of the budget idea. And I know that's also one of those things that, I guess, speaking from my experience, is easier said than done. As we think about that and moving forward, is that something, I would think that's something that's going to play into, your finances as you, are looking at this reset, this reboot.
Oh, absolutely. We bring up the budget, the dreaded B word. A lot of people are very leery of wanting to budget because they feel like they're going to be constrained. Like, I don't want to budget because then I won't have any fun because I can't spend any money. But a budget is really freeing because when you have a budget, you free yourself of the anxiety and the stress of constantly being like, oh man, I got to pay the credit card, and then utility bills are due next month, and then I've got the kids, you know, you got to pay for their lessons over here. It's just this vicious cycle of frustration when you don't live by a budget, because you never feel like you have any sort of control over your money. You don't know where it's going, and you're just living in that constant cycle of frustration. So if you don't have a budget, now is a great time to start a budget. And even if you do have a budget, now is a good time to revisit the budget, because things have obviously changed. I would say, I mean, first of all, I would say your first priority should be your giving and your budget. That's number one. Number two, your savings. Pay yourself first. You know, you're not going to be able to build up an emergency fund if you're not saving money, and you're probably not going to save any money if you wait until the end of the month to see what's left over. Like, if the plan is, oh, the month's over, do I have any money left over? Maybe I'll dump that into savings. Sometimes that works, but a lot of times it doesn't, because you're like, oh, look, I still have $100. Let's go out to eat. Let's go do something. You know, oh, I can buy that, you know, a new pair of jeans or what. So make savings automatic. Make it one of the first things in your budget. Don't wait till the end of the month to see what you have. And then also prioritize your debt. So if you've got high interest debt, like credit cards, like we talked about, make that a priority. That's going to be the best return on your money. When you're paying off interest rates of 15, 18, 20%, there's nothing else you're going to invest in that's going to get that kind of return. And then finally, I would say when it comes to budget, separate out your needs and your wants. Pay your needs first, the things, you know, your mortgage, your utilities, your food. Those are things you need to buy. Your wants are your streaming services and subscriptions, your, you know, getting coffee, you're eating out. Those are nice to have. Nothing wrong with those, but those come after. So you pay your needs first, and then if there's room at the end, then you can make some line items in your budget for those things.
Yeah, and you know, once again, like I said, you know, it's, once again, all of this stuff, I feel like it is easier said than done, but it's so crucial. And I like what you said at the beginning of talking about budgeting, how it really does kind of give you permission to spend. It's kind of a freedom aspect of, you know, I mean, because you're the one who sets the budget. It's not like someone else is setting it for you, you know. So if you, and obviously you need to be wise, but, and like you said, prioritize debt and stuff. But for example, if you're someone who enjoys going out to eat, well, just build that into your budget, you know. If you like, you know, and once again, within reason, you know, don't put 70% of your budget towards restaurants, but at the same time, within reason, you can, you know, that's the freedom and the flexibility of it. So, and you know, so budgeting, you know, you talk about the saving, this idea of having a financial buffer. But here's one of the things that I often, kind of hear, I could see how people get it confused. Is there a difference between savings and investing? And how does that look?
Typically talking about savings, that's more in the short term. For short-term expenses, you're saving up for an emergency, you're saving up for a car, you're saving up for a vacation. Investing would be long-term. And I think that's really a key aspect to highlight, is investing has to be for the long-term. I think COVID has once again reminded us of the importance of investing being a long-term a long-term proposition. So, you know, these last few months have been really, really crazy in the market. Anybody that's been paying attention has seen that the stock market has been bouncing all over the place, and there's been a lot of fear, and understandably so. Anytime something unknown like COVID, like a global pandemic, certainly going to cause some uncertainty in the market. But here's again why you have to be long-term focused. The essence, and I looked at this morning because I was kind of curious on the numbers, because I knew we would be talking about some things related to resetting. The S&P 500 is probably the best gauge. It's the most popular gauge of the U.S. stock market. So when you hear on the news, S&P 500 dropped 100 points today, you know, it's a gauge. It's a average of 500 of the largest companies in the U.S. So at the beginning of this year, 2020, the S&P 500 was at 3,244 points. By March, we dipped all the way down to 2,191. That was its lowest point. That's over a 32% drop. So to drop 32% in the space of 3 months, that's scary. I mean, there's no getting around that. That's a very disconcerting process. Nobody likes seeing the market drop and drop and drop. But today, as of July 28th, when we are recording this podcast, at the beginning of or this morning, the S&P 500 opened at 3,234, just 10 points below where it was at the start of the year. So if I told you, if Luke, if you had been in a coma for the last, 7 months, and you had seen the last time you had seen the S&P 500 was at the beginning of the year, and then you just looked at it this morning, you'd be like, oh, I guess nothing happened.
But
in the a lot of things happened in the meantime, but that's
quite a bit.
It just highlights, it highlights the long-term nature of investing. If you're going to invest in stocks, and stocks are just one type of investment, it's not the only investment out there, but stocks over the long term have generated anywhere between 8 to 11% return. When you look at long periods of time, 30, 40 year segments, that's kind of the range. However, in the short term, they vary wildly. I mean, 2019, we were up over 30%. In 2008, we were down over 30%. You know, year to year, there can be a lot of fluctuation. So what you have to keep in mind is when you invest, risk and return go together. If you want a higher return, you take on a higher risk. And that risk usually manifests itself in fluctuations. The longer term you look at it, the more that becomes a predictable historically a more predictable outcome. In the short term, however, nobody knows where the market's going to go tomorrow, next week, next month. And so that's why through these last few months, people that made an emotional decision, it probably did not work to their benefit. If they got scared, they said, oh, no, I don't know what's going to happen with this COVID thing. Let me get out of stocks. Let me go to something safer. That was the wrong decision because the market has already jumped back up to where it was before. And the thing is, I don't know what's going to happen next week. I mean, the market might drop again next week. It might drop next month, next year. But again, we have to look at the long-term nature. And if you're, you know, if you're investing money that you need next year, don't put it in the stock market. But if you're investing money that you need 30 years from now, the stock market's a great place to put your money. So as a little bit of a tangent, I kind of went down on a rabbit trail on that, but hopefully that helps, because I think one of the biggest lessons we could learn from these last few months is that you've got to invest for the long term. You cannot make it an emotional day-to-day decision, or else you are just going to drive yourself crazy doing that.
Well, our conversation with Nate is not over. It was so good that we wanted to break it up and bring it to you in two different episodes. So wherever you're watching or listening, be sure to subscribe. You can like us on Facebook. And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, we'd love to hear from you. So leave a comment, leave us some feedback, maybe ask a question, tell us a topic that you'd like us to cover in a future episode. And if you're enjoying this content, if it's providing value to you, it would mean so much to me if you would share that, and if you would let other church leaders know about this content. Well, thanks again for joining us here on Church Media HQ, and remember, don't be afraid to try something new, because it is so much better to fail at doing something incredible than to succeed at doing something average.